Welcome back to Money Mike's Mike on Spotify, where we look into the craziest stories ever heard and made from St. Thomas High School alumni. I'm your host, Money Mike, guiding you through all these wild adventures of people's lives, looking back at their past, taking a peek at where they are now. Here, we finally document their crazy STH lives for all to hear, maybe even be entertained by them. Now it's time to spend some time with Money Mike. We got a guest I know pretty well today. He's got some crazy stories from his younger years. Today, we're looking at the stories of my dad. First, we'll get to know a little about him. To understand some of the stuff my dad says, or just to get to know him a little better, it'd probably be helpful to tell you some of the things my dad owns. For one, probably one of his most prized possessions is his 1967 Ford Mustang convertible. Since he used to work in a car shop, he loves cars and knows a lot about them. In fact, you'll probably notice him explicitly note the models of cars in the stories. He also loves planting. In fact, the entire outside of the house is filled with plants he chooses himself specifically, and he plants himself. He takes care of them all by himself. In fact, the front yard could be described as his miniature botanical garden. I guess I should also mention the entire room he has dedicated to the Astros. It was an office before, and he still works there, but a couple years back, he transformed the place to display all his baseball and Astros memorabilia he's collected in his life. From one end of the room to another, from floor to ceiling, it's all covered in Astros stuff, so I guess he likes the Astros a lot. I started this interview off by asking him to talk about himself a little, a brief summary of what he does now.
My name is Andy Rodriguez, but my given name is Indalecio. I grew up in the east side of downtown called the East End. My job was to work at the family business, which was an auto repair shop, Rodriguez Garage. I graduated from the University of St. Thomas in 1994. So I got my degree in business administration. I've been in the financial industry for almost 30 years. I'm a vice president at Primeway Federal Credit Union.
Next, I asked him what St. Thomas stories he had to tell. He told me many, but one of my favorites was his senior retreat at St. Thomas.
It was about six of us. We all piled into my buddy's 1979 station wagon, and all of us took one change of clothing because it was an overnight retreat, and somehow or another we ended up with a bunch of alcohol on the way down to the retreat. Well, you know, we had beer cans clanging at the floorboard of the station wagon probably within about 30 minutes of the road trip. We get to the senior retreat about 4 hours late, I believe, because after we drank a lot, we stopped at, I believe, was Jack in the Box and got a bunch of food. I'm glad we did, because when we got to the actual retreat, I believe it was Father Glass or Father Galen's, maybe both, got after us pretty good and told us that we would not get any dinner and that we would not be getting a cabin. We ended up sleeping on top of the park benches located near the pavilion, at least back then. And we thought, well, you know, what's the worst? This can't be that bad. Well, it turns out that in, I think it was the month of April or May that this occurred, when you're in the middle of the woods in the spring, it gets pretty cold. So we were freezing about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
He talked to me about what they did the next day, how they went to the mass that was held, and how he said they had a good time. Then he told me what happened on the way back.
On the way back, we had another buddy of us want to join us, but we had no room. We had 2 ice chests in the back of the station wagon. And if you're familiar with station wagons, there was a rear hatch with a window that would go down. And this guy is laying on top of the ice chest. Well, as the driver was taking a real hard right turn, the poor guy on top of the ice chest flew out the window. Luckily, he landed on a sandy road because it was just in the middle of the woods. And it was hilarious. It was just about the funniest thing I've ever seen. The guy didn't get hurt, probably only his pride. We got him back in. He got back in on top of the ice chest, and we all went back home. I think had another 6-pack of beer and then made it all the way back.
One thing I feel I must explain is that these friends he went with are the same throughout all his stories. In fact, he still goes out drinking with them regularly to this day. The next good story he told me was his time going to a concert in his senior year with the same friends.
My senior year at St. Thomas, me and 3 other buddies, we decided we want to go to the Texas Jam.
He explained to me what Texas Jam was, essentially a big concert for all the popular bands of the time.
That particular year it happened at the Convo, just outside Dallas. So that would have been in, I guess, spring of 1989. So it's me and 3 other buddies. We all lied to our parents and said we were going to be staying at each other's homes because we had a ride lined up to go take us all the way to Dallas. We had bought our tickets, and we were all set to go. At the last minute, our ride, I guess he chickened out. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to lie to his parents. So what do? We try to rent a car, but none of us were old enough to rent a car. So we figured, oh, you can rent a U-Haul. But we wouldn't have enough money to pay for the gasoline to take the U-Haul and back. So finally, we decided that we're going to take the bus. We go to the bus stop, we take the bus, and what we figured would be no more than a 4-hour bus ride turns into an 8-hour bus ride because we didn't realize that when you take the bus up north to Dallas, they stop in all the little towns that are in between Houston and Dallas, Texas. One of the big towns that they arrive at happens to be Huntsville, Texas, which is I believe it's a level 4 correctional facility that houses probably the most dangerous criminals in the state of Texas. Well, when you get out of prison, they give you 2 things. They give you a bus ticket and they give you $50. At the bus stop in Huntsville, there happens to be a liquor store. So by the time we had exited probably the Conroe area, myself and my 3 other buddies had beer cans clinging back and forth in the rear of the bus because there really wasn't too many people back there. And we were drinking away all the way to Dallas. When we get to Huntsville, there's 3 convicts that are released that Again, as I mentioned, they give you a bus ticket and $50. What's the first thing they do? They go buy alcohol. So within about 5-10 minutes, we're sharing beers and drinking with three newly released felony convicts. We met one guy who said he was a pimp working out of Dallas, and his name was Willis. We met another guy that was a truck driver that he said he got busted for transporting narcotics across state lines, and they had given him 6 years. We're talking it up, so much so that he says, "All right, boys, when we get to Dallas, I will hook you up with some of my hoes." Of course, none of us believed that Willis actually was a pimp, nor were we even contemplating going anywhere with this guy. But when we get to the bus stop, he introduces us to three of his employees, and they offer to take us to their home and spend the evening. We did not accept that invitation. By that time, we had sobered up quite enough to know that this character was actually a pimp, and he showed up, or his employees showed up in, I kid you not, a 1974 Cadillac Eldorado convertible.
After all that, he told me about their time at the Texas Jam.
We make it to the concert where there's 100,000 people, and we're literally in front of a biker gang. During the concert, there was a fight and a big melee that broke out. So we had to dodge the bikers fighting another gang at the Texas Jam. But we managed to get the heck out of the way, finish watching the show, and grab the bus back to Houston.
He then told me his final story.
Probably a not so nice story, but it's hilarious, I think. When we were, I think, juniors and seniors, actually, myself and a buddy of mine by the name of Alan Hall, who also went to St. Thomas and was class of 89, and during the holiday season, he and I, we would steal the baby Jesus from the nativity scenes out of people's homes all over the memorial area. And the idea was really just to see if we can get away with it. Well, we got away with it a lot. I think we ended up one particular Christmas season with 16 baby Jesus. And we would put them, as a joke, on car antennas or in the front homes, sometimes in the inside the cars if they happen to be open, of our other buddies, our parents, grandparents. And it would scare the shit out of everybody because they didn't know how baby Jesus would show up inside their car. And it was just the biggest laugh I think we had. I think we did that for about 3 or 4 years there. It started junior year. So, yeah, we did it even through college as a tradition, I guess. The last one I recall is that we stole a baby Jesus, and we took him into a bar with us. By this time, we're all, I suppose, old enough to be drinking. Legally, that is. And we spent the evening with the baby Jesus at a bar, sharing beers.
Well, that was my first time hearing some of these stories. I hope you enjoyed them as much as I did. That's all we got time for on Money Mike's Mic, spending time telling the craziest stories. If you got any STH alumni that you want me to interview, contact me. Thank you for listening, and come back if you enjoyed it. Money Mike out.